So tonight's verses are Judges 2, 10 through 19. Israel disobeys the Lord. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of people around them, and they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Ashtoreth. This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel, so he handed them over to the raiders who stole their possessions. He turned them over to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist them. Every time Israel went into battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned, and the people were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges to rescue the Israelites from their attackers. Yet Israel did not listen to the judges, but prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors, who had walked in obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge over Israel, he was with that judge and rescued the people from their enemies through the judge's lifetime. For the Lord took pity on his people who were burned by oppression and suffering. But when the judge died, the people returned to their corrupt ways, behaving worse than those who had lived before them. They went after other gods, serving and worshiping them, and they refused to give up on their evil practices and stubborn ways.
Amen. Anyone here like roller coasters? You know, for the thrill seekers, the ups and downs and those lightning fast curves, they're like an adrenaline rush. There's something about the tension of that wild ride with the twists and turns held under the control of a ride operator for safety. You know, sometimes life is like that roller coaster. At times, it's an adrenaline rush. And then other times, we can't wait to get off. Our head is spinning, our stomach is churning, and we're just feeling pretty sick. You know, tonight we're starting a series on the book of Judges. It's a book filled with ups and downs. It's a book complete with heart-pounding moments and stomach-churning moments as well. It's a book that's very unlike the book that precedes it in the Bible. In the book of Joshua, we see God's faithfulness on display as he delivers the promised land into the hands of the children of Israel. In Joshua, the people are obedient, and they're trusting in the power of God. Things were good. They were in the up of the roller coaster. But then, in the opening of Judges, Joshua has died. And the Israelites are seeking guidance from the Lord, but they have failure after failure in their conquest because they start depending on themselves rather than depending on the Lord. You see, in chapter 2, it's revealed that their failures were not just because they were really bad at military strikes. Their failures were not because of lack of military skill or military training. Their failures on the battlefield were because of their spiritual failures. See, God told the people that he would not break his covenant with them. But they were not to break their covenant with him either. The people were not to make covenants with the Canaanites. And they were to tear down all the Canaanite altars of pagan worship. But the Israelites didn't do it. There was something that was appealing to them. God told the people he would not drive out their enemies in the promised land. But instead, he was going to let these enemies be a thorn in their side. Those pagan gods would become a snare to them. And this is exactly what happened, which triggers this whole wild roller coaster ride for the Israelites in the entire book of Judges. It says up and down and up and down as they start to get it right. And then they make bad decisions and they get it all wrong again. Sounds like us, doesn't it? Things go really well, really well, really well. We get so excited. We're so full of blessing and good things. But in those good things, we start forgetting about Him. We start forgetting that we have those good things because of Him. And so we start making decision, bad decision, bad decision, bad decision. And slowly we go down on the downward spiral of the roller coaster again. See, we're told in Joshua 2, verses 10 through 11. It says, after that generation died, the generation that knew Joshua, and the generation that saw God's hand as they left Egypt and traveled in the desert. Yeah, that generation, that one. After they passed away, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that He had done for them. And so the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the same Lord who brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them. You know, it's not very unlike the world we live in today. You know, we have a generation out there that doesn't know the stories of, they barely know the story of Noah. My kids were getting into their adulthood ages and they started hanging out with different groups of people. And when they say, oh, I'm going to go to church, my mom is preaching tonight. And there would be different elements that they would start to talk about. And my kids would say, how do you not know that? How do you not know that story in the Bible? I thought everybody knew that story about Noah. How did you not hear about Moses parting the Red Sea? I thought everybody knew those stories. But we have a generation out there that doesn't know those stories. Yeah, many of them don't want to know those stories. And that's what's happening in Israel. For the book of Judges, there's a whole generation that hasn't heard those stories. And that's making the Lord angry. Captive. So He allows foreign people to conquer the Israelites and take them captive. You see, whenever the Israelites went out to fight the invaders, God was against them. They couldn't stop the foreigners. And so the Israelites, they would repent of their ways. And they would ask God to help them. And then God would raise up a judge to save them. It was an up and down roller coaster. Many of us live our lives like that, from one crisis to another. Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And He comes in and He saves you. And you're feeling good. And then day after day after day after day goes by. And you're still feeling good. You say, oh, look at me. No, look what God did to you. He protected you. He saved you. But now it's in the past. You've forgotten about it. And so as you start to depend on yourself, you ruffle your feathers just like a peacock. You get really proud. That's what the Israelites were doing. They're saying, look at us, look at us. God saved us again. And then they would just keep going up, and then they would fall down again. And we do the same thing. We just don't recognize it. we point to the Bible and say, look at those dumb Israelites. They just couldn't get it. But we do the same thing. We're that dumb. We really are. All of us. Because we're broken. Every one of us is broken. That's the whole story throughout the book of Judges. The Israelites would worship and they'd follow the Lord. And then a generation would come by that didn't know him. They didn't worship him. And God would send people to invade them again, conquer the Israelites. And the Israelites would repent of their ways again. And they'd cry out to God, please help us, please help us. And he would raise up another judge who would lead them to victory again. But then when that judge died, the entire roller coaster ride just continued. The downward track to the worshiping of other gods, to the conquering by other nations, to then the up track when they started to repent and he saved them again. And over and over and over. You know, there are others in the Bible, not just the Israelites, that were on this roller coaster ride. We see this roller coaster ride throughout Scripture. You remember Abraham? You know, he didn't fully trust in the Lord at all times. There were many times when Abraham's life, when he was going through what God told him to do, when he feared for his life, he was afraid for his life. Now think about this. The creator of the universe had told Abraham, you will be the father of many nations. How's he going to be the father of many nations if he's dead? But yet he still feared. So up and down, up and down. We all do it. What about David? David did the same thing. What about King Saul? He disobeyed God's servant Samuel on many occasions, and on his last ride to the bottom, he watched everything God had given him taken away. We're all on a roller coaster ride, just like the Israelites, just like the stories we read about in Scripture. See, during the times in our lives when things are going really well, we're up here, we're up here. But when we're at the top of the coaster, we have the tendency to forget where all the good comes from. When things are going well, we pat ourselves on the back. We tend to rely more on ourselves, our abilities and our skills, our charm, our character, our charismatic personalities. But we lose our dependency on God. We thank him less and less and less for what he's actually provided for us. We slowly become our own God as we start to attribute our successes to the hands of our work. And then, like the Israelites, we discover ourselves at the bottom of the roller coaster ride again. The idol of our work, the idol of our abilities, having failed us once again. And we wonder, why am I happy? Why am I sad? Why am I happy? Why am I sad? Because when you're happy, you're recognizing God's work in your life. And when you're sad, you're saying, what happened? Where's God? He says, I've been here the whole time, but you pushed me away. It's up and down, up and down. See, we call to God for help. Bring me out of this situation, Lord. I know I put myself in this situation, but please, Lord, I need you to get me out. And because God is so good, and because he is so faithful, he'll listen to our cries. And he answers our prayers. And he brings us out of our mess after mess, top of the coast after mess. And he lifts us back up to the top of the coaster again, where unfortunately the ride just keeps going and going, just like the Israelites in the book of Judges. You know, it's hard because as we live on earth, as we live in these bodies, we will forever be on the roller coaster ride. There will always be ups and downs in our lives. We can't escape it. But we can maybe level them out a little. You see, the more we resist the will of the Lord, the more we're going to go down. We will consistently find ways to pull ourselves out of God's hand because we want our way. That's our human nature. That's Adam and Eve in the garden. Don't eat that tree. Oh, but we want that tree. We want to be like you, God, so we're going to eat that tree. That is in you and me. That same, you know, determination, that same I want it my way spirit that's within us. Even when we're saved, that's the battle that goes on within us. God's will, self-will. Which one's going to win out? That's why we go up and down and up and down and up and down. It's a battle. But God is always going to be there to help us out because God is faithful, because God is good. We're always going to try to find ways to put ourselves back in the muck, in the mud, because we want things our way. And God's always going to be there to pull us out every time, every time. But don't be too surprised. Sometimes he leaves us in the mud a little longer than we want. We don't like that so much. But sometimes God just needs you to sit in that so he can prepare you for something better. One of the things that we'll find that Israel failed to do was grow through the muck and the mire that they kept finding themselves in. They just kept repeating and repeating and repeating rather than growing and growing and growing. They never learned. They just got worse and worse and worse with more willful behavior, like a stubborn little toddler. Judges 2, verse 19 through 22 says, "But when the judge died, the people returned to their corrupt ways, behaving worse than those who had lived before them. They went after other gods, serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and their stubborn ways." Israel. So the Lord burned with anger against Israel. I don't want to be in that place. I don't think anybody wants to be in that place. And he said to them, "Because these people have violated my covenant, which I made with their ancestors, and have ignored my commands, I will no longer drive out the nations that Joshua left unconquered when he died. I did this to test Israel." Pay attention to this last part. "To see whether or not they would follow the ways of their Lord as their ancestors did." Is your faith, is your repenting, is it just words? For the Israelites, it was words. That's why they kept going up and down and up and down. But you know what's really cool about this? Israel's response to God, this up and down roller coaster ride, was not a surprise to God. And so you have to wonder, he knew they were in this cycle of ups and downs, of faithfulness and faithlessness. So why did he keep helping them? Why did he keep going up in this roller coaster ride with them? Why did he keep going through this cycle over and over and over with them? Because they looked like they were broken, right? Why did he let this cycle of brokenness keep going? because he wanted them to know what was in their heart. He knew what was in their heart, but he needed them to see what was in their heart. You see, he left their enemies in the land to prove to them that they weren't okay. See, but we have a God who doesn't want to leave us broken. And so he keeps coming back over and over and over. That's how much he loves you. He wants to restore you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to make you whole again. And so he won't stop chasing you. No matter how many times you go up and down that roller coaster. It was the same reason that he let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Remember, as they're about to enter the promised land, Moses tells them, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart and whether or not you would keep his commands. We need to look inside our hearts. He already knows. See, God uses the ups and downs of life to show us what's in us. And more than that, while we may be broken, he is able and more than willing to make us whole again. And don't try to say you're not broken. Because if you're human, you're broken. Adam and Eve, all the way back to the garden, all the way back to the beginning. Every one of us is broken. But we need to be okay to admit it. Too many of us live behind this shield of, no, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm good. I'm okay, you're okay. No, we're all broken. And because we're all broken, I'm okay, you're okay. Because we have a God who is faithful and loves us. And doesn't want to leave us broken, wants to make us whole. Amen. Let me give you an example of how we can see we're broken. If you bump into a person with a full cup, whatever's in that cup is going to spill out. If it's coffee in that cup, then coffee's going to spill out. Milk, milk will spill out. Tea will spill out. And so what spills out of your life when you're bumped? When things don't go the way you expect, what spills out? Is there anger? Is there frustration? Fear? Faithfulness? Faithlessness? Grace? Gratitude? Humility? Service? If you don't like what you see when you get bumped by life's bumps and ups and downs, then you need to accept God's offer to make you whole again. Because he doesn't want to leave you in your fear. He doesn't want to leave you in your faithlessness, in your anger or your frustration. He wants to lift you out. Amen. You see, that's what Israel failed to do. Throughout the book of Judges, we're going to see that instead of learning from their pain, instead of growing from their pain, they just kept going back to their old ways. It actually got worse and worse and worse, and they just kept rejecting God's offer to heal them. They kept rejecting his offer to be their Lord and Savior. They kept rejecting his offer to make them whole. They just kept chasing after the things that they thought were going to make them better. The things that they thought were going to make them happy. And every time, it failed them. See, God knows you're broken, but he loves you anyway. How many, I'm broken, but so-and-so loves me anyway. No, I'm broken, but God loves me anyway. He needs you to see that you're broken and that he is there to heal you through every up and through every down in your life. James wrote, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete." You know the other word for complete? Whole. So you can be whole again, not lacking anything. Amen. You know, on August 27th, in the year 1498, the Pope of the Catholic Church commissioned Michelangelo to create a statue of Jesus and his mother Mary. Now, Michelangelo, he searched the quarries for just the perfect stone. He spent months in the city of Carrara, where with great care, he selected this piece of marble. Yes. He oversaw its extraction, and he arranged for its transportation. He oversaw every detail. And once this cube of marble arrived in his studio, the young Michelangelo went to work. He labored over it for almost 2 years, sweating over it in the summer and shivering over it in the winter. He was a man on a mission. But it resulted in the Pietà, a work of unsurpassed beauty. You know, in the same way, God works on his masterpieces. That's you and you and you and me. We are God's handiwork. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece. We are his handiwork, his workmanship. And he works on us even more passionately than Michelangelo did on the Pietà. And just like Michelangelo, God uses different tools to achieve different results. You see, the ups and downs of life, sometimes they may feel like a hammer. Sometimes they might feel like a pointed chisel that's designed to shape us and to mold us. Each tool has its own role in shaping the marble to its own special use. God uses some of our ups and downs, even as abrasive moments, to smooth out those rough edges. You see, to the eyes of the detached observer, these sculpting tools may seem mean. They may seem even cruel. When the artist begins his work, every blow from the hammer seems a random act of violence. Every bite of the chisel seems a senseless act of vandalism. From the perspective of the marble, the blows it receives are even more difficult to understand. But make no mistake, God is using the ups and downs of our lives, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, to craft our character, to make us whole, to restore us to the beauty of his creation. Sometimes those circumstances are jolting and jarring. Sometimes they're difficult to understand and even more difficult to endure. But God is working to create the great work of his external, eternal existence. His masterpiece. Every one of you are his masterpiece. We are the work in which he thinks and dreams about every day. We are masterpieces in the making. Not just any masterpieces, His masterpieces. More magnificent than the Pietà could ever be, because that was done by human hands. But you are sculpted by the hands of the Creator. People have always and will always experience ups and downs in life. We all experience hardship. We all experience suffering amid the good things. But the ups and downs of life are reflected in our up and down relationship with the Lord. It's the human condition that's been going on since Adam and Eve. It isn't new to the book of Judges. The book of Judges just brings it to the forefront for all of us to see in all its ugliness. What we see is that during the up times, we've denied our wills. We've denied our wants. And we recognize that we're completely in God's hands. But then, when we try to assert ourselves, to attend to our when we start to serve our will and start to attend to our wants, that's when we come over the top and start heading down fast. That's when we find ourselves with problems. That's when we need to cry out to ask God for His help again and again and again. And when we turn back to Him, when we start depending on Him, our journey on the upward track begins again. That's when we follow where He's leading. That's when we let our desires become His desires. And then we find ourselves back on the top, waiting for the next moment that we do as we want, chase after our idols, and take the ride back to the bottom again. You know, we may not have God-appointed judges that are leading us through our down times, but we do have family. And we do have friends, and we do have church family that can fill that role. Because they know how we feel. They know what we are experiencing in our roller coaster ride, because they're doing it too. Because we're all broken. But God doesn't want to leave us broken. He dreams of turning each of us from broken vessels into masterpieces. That is the God we serve. Amen. Heavenly Father, there are no words to describe Your love for us. The lengths that You have gone to show us how much You love us through the life and the death and the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus. Father, it's so hard to fathom. It's so hard to understand. Lord, show us what's in our hearts. And as You show us what's in our hearts, Lord, give us the courage to repent, but give us also the courage to want to change. Help us to move forward in growth, Father. Not just in the cycle of us doing our thing and then repenting and going back to You, Lord. Help us break the cycle. Lord, we want to be Your people. Lord, help us to see us as Your masterpieces, that You offer life to us, that You offer wholeness to us, Father. We thank You. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.